Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Bless you. Just want to start this morning, actually, at the start of a new year, or at least for us, by calling an SSGM, a special general meeting, or a specific SGM. Normally we have an SGM, we call a particular item that we have to discuss, a financial position or a expenditure item or something, and we have a few weeks' notice, etc. This morning what I want to do is call a meeting about a very particular thing that is going to happen in each of our lives this year. Firmly believe that, and over the next few weeks I want to speak a little bit about vision for 2018. The reason I feel to start this, I know it's the start of the year, but the reason I feel particularly to bring that is a verse that we're going to have a look at shortly that summarizes, I believe, what it is that God wants to do with us individually and corporately. So what I want us to do is to read a verse together, and when we've read it together, I want it to speak it to one another, and I'd like to pray and open the service. And the verse I'm going to read is, it'll come up on the overhead shortly, if we could bring them both up. Thanks, Luke. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the lead-in, but the verse I want us to repeat together is the next one, in verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So in 1 Thessalonians 23 and 24, we see a summary. I'll just pull that up myself. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. What I'd like to do before I pray and open this morning is I'd like you to look at the person one side of you and say to them, he who calls you is faithful and also will do it. We're going through this three times. Look to the person one side and say that to them. Then look to the person the other side and say that to them. And then look to the person either in front or behind, depending where you're sitting, and say it to them. Let's say this together. So the first time, turn to one person. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. Turn the other side. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. And then someone in front or behind of you, turn around and say to them, he who calls you is faithful and also will do it. Wonderful. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the promises in your word, and we see that you are faithful. You call us and you will do it. You call, you faith, and you achieve. You do. Father, we thank you for what you are going to do in our lives and our hearts this year, individually and corporately. But it starts with our believing and understanding your faithfulness that you have in us to achieve the calling that you have given us. And what I want us to do is to pray quietly, but change one word in that verse. That's with our eyes closed. Let's pray quietly this verse. He who calls me is faithful and also will do it. Just say that three times quietly and we'll close the prayer. Father God, these are your words to us, your words of encouragement, your words of commissioning, and your words of promise that you who call us are faithful and will do it. Thank you, Lord. We stand on your word, we stand on your promises, and we look forward to the fulfillment and the outworking of that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I hope you don't mind the slight change to the verse there. Not normally a thing to do, change the words of Scripture. But I wanted to make the point that at some stage this year, or at many stages, I may use the word you. But when I use it, I don't mean you as in you as opposed to me, if that's not too confusing. These are words that are spoken to all of us. So if I'm ever speaking those words, I think you know that I'm speaking to myself as well. I'm also challenged, even though part of my calling is to do what I'm doing here. There are things that God is calling me to do that he is faithful, and maybe I'm not quite there with my faith, but I know that he'll do it. So I want to begin by unpacking these three words: calling, faithfulness, and doing. And then the last little word on the end, the smallest of the whole thing, whatever it is. So firstly, calling. Now, we have a roster at home that is the things that must be done every night for dinner. And it rotates around Olivia, Luke, Nick, and is it that way around? Olivia, Luke, John, and Nick. So it goes around every night, and this is the way in which things get done. And unfortunately, I think that whenever a call is made from the parents to the children, and excuse Blackie family internal politics, it's not necessarily a positive thing to want to respond to. It's something that has to be done that I might not necessarily want to do. And whenever a call is made perhaps from one parent to another, it may not necessarily be a thing that I want to do. The calling is made, and it is assumed or hoped, or there may be a level of faith that the person who is called will do the thing that is asked of by the person who calls them. Now, sometimes we see that translated when one child will say to another, I'd like you to do this, and I'd like you to do this because I think that I have the responsibility or the authority in this particular instance, and you need to do it. Now, generally speaking, these sorts of callings are not received in the most positive light, but there's a sense of begrudging acceptance. We need to get this done. I'm on the roster, or this is your particular thing or gifting, if you like. It needs to be done, so we might as well get on and do it. But there's never really a sense of an excitement or a fulfillment or achieving what it is that we are made to do when we are doing those things that we are called by our families internally. Sometimes it may be the same in a church family. I may feel as a pastor a prompting to call someone to consider something that I know that God has called them to do, and maybe there's a sense of alignment as I have that conversation. I also sometimes sense a reluctance because even though the person may be well gifted in that, there's a number of other things on their plate, and the last thing I'd want to do is to overload them. A verse that really relates to this one is Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we know that if we ever feel overburdened with the work that we're doing, it's not something that Jesus has given us to do. He gives us a light yoke and an easy burden. It is a burden and a yoke, don't get me wrong, but we're great at loading things onto people that are too much for them to bear. So there's always a delicate process, you understand, when something is being asked of someone, when we make the call. But if you think about that word calling, many of us are beginning, or some of younger of us are beginning to train to consider, this may be my life's calling, the thing that I'm set to do. And because I have been called to do that, there is a sense of preparation or getting ready for what God has called me to do. So in a sense, the calling happens maybe at the start to indicate there is an area of expertise to be gathered or gained, and then we're, if you like, called into that work. I think I've often shared the challenge of thinking when I was prompted to go to Bible college some years ago, was I doing that out of, well, that's just what I need to do and then God will work out the rest, or was it as part of a calling? I guess I never really worked it out, and maybe that's not that important because ultimately you end up with something that is useful, at least you hope that when you start studying, into the calling that God has called you. And for some of us, the question that I often have in conversations is, I really don't know what it is that God would want me to do, if only he would tell me. And if he could make that really clear to me, then it would just be great. I could relax in that and do that, know that he has made me for this, he has called me for this, he has gifted for me this, he has equipped me for this, and I'm beginning to turn this gift into a talent and an ability. Some time ago, you may remember a message that was brought to us about the difference between a gift and a talent and an ability. A gift is something that is given. It's not earned, it's not nurtured necessarily, it is given. But if a gift is given where there is the raw talent that needs to be nurtured and practiced so it becomes talent and it becomes ability. In one sense, although it's very much not a gift in the time and money that it takes to get it, an education, a qualification is the gift part. But the practicing, we hear of people practicing medicine, practicing law, practicing a number of professions in terms for that gift or that starting point to become something that we eventually feel called into. And it It may be a relief to some of you to know that most people never really feel called into the job that they have until 10 or 15 years of practicing the same job. Now, that's a long time, but that's the reality for many that train for something. It can take 10 or 15 years for the average person. Now, many feel a sense of calling and knowing they're doing the right thing straight away, and that's wonderful. Of course, if the average is 15 years for some, it's 30 years before they realize, well, I guess this is what I'm called to do, and maybe a sense of reluctance. So could I mention in calling here, it's not necessarily a sense of excitement or anticipation, but it is with an understanding that God, the faithful one who calls us, has the very best for us and the best hope for us and the best purpose and future. And understanding this at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, which is a book where I didn't want to go into the detail of how it's ended up with us at the end of it, because it talks to the love of the congregation and what they have for one another and all that comes out of that. And I certainly see and have experienced that a number of times over summer and reading. I'm thinking of this congregation here and the love we have for one another and what that could mean, what that could launch and what that could be foundational for. Now, as Paul speaks about that, he also speaks about what to look for in the end times, things to be aware of. So there's a number of things in 1 Thessalonians, but at the end he says all of these things are bubbling away, are possibilities, are there. And ultimately, God is the one, the faithful God who will do it when he calls you. So my encouragement for the first part of what I want to say today is to consider what it is that God may have called you to do. And maybe out of today you have no idea, or maybe before today and maybe at the end of today you have no idea. But my encouragement and my strong desire for each one of us is we would take some time, maybe this afternoon, glorious day I know, maybe some time, but through the week I encourage us to consider what is it that God may be calling me to do. And when I say me, I mean the me that each of us would say, God, what do you want me to do? What have you called me to do? Now notice very clearly in the first part, he who calls you or he who calls me. It's very clear the order of the words there. We don't normally go and unpack a verse in quite such detail, but I want to do that this morning because it's he who calls me, not me who calls me or you who calls you. It's really important to understand that it's God who calls us, not ourselves. Because it may be that we actually get a sense of our own natural gifts and abilities and we say, it's obvious what I'm supposed to do. And we launch into that which may have had tremendous fruit and ability in a secular sense. Many of us are quite proficient and professional and effective in our careers. And it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we can confuse or conclude from that, possibly in a confused way, that this is a natural extension or what God would call me to do may or may not be, but we think it may be a natural extension of what it is that we do in our secular jobs. That may well be the case. I know a lot of teachers that are very good at teaching, but I know that people that sometimes in caring professions like, not that teaching, please hear me, is not a caring profession, but I know that some that are specifically in caring professions like nurses or doctors or those paramedics, etc., also can be apt to teach. So it doesn't necessarily follow that your life calling is the same that you may have ended up doing in terms of a vocation, is the same or parallel to what God has called you to do. I mention that because the confusion often arises when we look at that as an extension. For example, I seem to have an ability and an attraction towards looking at financial issues. And I remember the biggest compliment I think someone was trying to pay me, although I don't know that actually was when I think about it, said that probably that would be my gifting and my contribution to the body of Christ. And I'm sure there's aspects of that that are going to be the case. But I felt almost condemned when the person said it. I'm sure they never intended that actually what you will do will just be financial things. Once again, I don't get me wrong, that will be part of it. But the sense of locking in our own vocation to saying that our calling or our ministry or what we're involved with in our Christian life will be exactly the same as that can lead to a point where we say, well, that's about it. Not the case at all. It's he who calls you. So if we understand that clearly and understand that it's God that calls us, maybe, just maybe, we have been calling ourselves into things that is not where God has put us. I gave a testimony a few months back about a much more relaxed way of looking forward in our business, for example. We have a business of property and investment, etc., and which we've often prayed and said, Lord, how does that fit with what we're doing here? And it's been quite a journey. Long story short, we sent a sense of release over summer, that just particularly driving back on the way back from holiday, that this was something, this latest idea that I'd been led to was something to be let go. It was time to not continue to say, actually, this is something that God has in store for us for a number of reasons, and I'll spare you the detail. Long story short on that, I realized as I considered that I had possibly called myself into that. There was a little hint of what God had said, and it's a particular issue that I have to keep coming up with and be challenged by those who are around me and love me to say, yes, you've got an inkling of something. Is that really what God wants? Or have you called yourself into it? He who calls you is faithful. Can I encourage us to take some time? We'll certainly pray at the end of the service. But on top of that, to see what has God called you to do, not what have you called you to do. Or what has God called me to do, and not what has me called me to do. The second thing is this word faithful. The word faithful is a base of the word that is the same as belief. You either have faith or you have unbelief. And the word faith, often we don't use a couple of words. We don't have the words faithing or faiths. They're not words that we have in the English language. We talk about faiths in terms of a number of faiths, in terms of plural. But we don't use the word faiths to say that someone faiths something upon something. We don't use the word faithing. Now, it's strange to mention those two words. I know they're not words that we use. But the reason I do that, in the original Greek, both of those contexts are understood. It's a much broader, bigger word. The word is pistis, and there's lots of, you know, variations on that. But spare the details to understand that God calls, God faiths, and God does. So there's a sense that something goes out from the Word of God. Everything happens through His Word. He speaks and He calls, but He also delivers and not emanates, that's the wrong word, but projects is also the wrong word. But if we understand in the same way that He calls and the Word goes out, faith goes out. So He faiths as well. Now, we might read that and say that He who calls you is faithful. And we might say, He calls, He is faithful, and He does. That's true. But it's also true that He sends out faith to those that He calls in order to do the things that He calls us to do. Now, what happens if we put the dominoes together, as it were, and we stack them up? Call, faith, and do. And we say, well, God, I'm stacking up the first day, and this seems very clearly what You're calling me to do. But there's no way that I'm going to topple the set of dynamos, set of dominoes, and see the outcome unless the faith You give me is able to begin to glimpse how it could possibly happen. For example, late last year, just before Christmas, we had our Christmas Eve series of outreaches, and it was quite a revealing time for me. I saw that there was a heart for many in the congregation to go and invite those from the community to come to a celebration at their place. I think it tremendously speaks about the possibilities for this year. More on that later in the next few weeks. But what particularly struck me about that night as we spoke with folk that lived around the area is that many were maybe not so far away as we might think from coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They weren't miles away. But in terms of the calling, it may well be that particular person has an opportunity to consider, hey, how might my house be used for this again? Absolutely have those from the church come in and be involved in it, but how might this happen again? But maybe we're lacking a little bit of faith to see how would that work other than a time like Christmas or possibly Easter. These are significant times when it's actually well in the calendar, as it were, in the secular calendar as well as the Christian calendar, that we'll have some time and consider the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe God has called you to have your home available for more events like this, and maybe He wants to raise your faith to consider how that might actually outwork. Maybe he's going to prompt you to come and have a word with me and say, I can see an opportunity in this area at our place with a barbecue, etc., etc., whatever it might be. But there's a sense that God will need to give us the faith to outwork the calling. Maybe we've got heap of calling. The calling is very clear. Maybe we don't even need to go away and pray about it. Maybe God's been saying something to us for years and years. But as we finished our outreach and went to Liz's for a wonderful supper, I said to the guys this morning, can you remember the step of faith that someone desired to take in terms of a new ministry at Beckenham in 2018? And we racked our brains. We were thinking, what was the name of that particular initiative? Now, let me see how your memory is. On Christmas Eve, I think, in the morning service, hold that thought. Christmas Eve in the morning service, someone, I had mentioned a notice prior to that someone had also given the week before of the desire to consider a lunchtime or thereabouts service of worship and celebration to be held midweek, probably here in Beckenham. And they mentioned the name of this, and I repeated it a number of times and got them to do that. And yet that night, not one of us could remember the name of this new initiative, which was amazing. In the end, we actually had to call the person. I remembered it was three words, but could I remember what the three words? So before anyone who was there on Sunday night at Liz's says that, can anybody remember the name of the step of faith that someone had felt called to do? June? No, I want the exact three words because we repeated it a number of times, but very close. There's very close, but I want the exact three words. I did repeat it ad nauseum a number of times, and we laughed about it, but there was a purpose to that, and yet at night I discovered that we none of us remembered it. Anyone else want to have a crack? Yeah, were you there Sunday night at Liz's? You were, yeah, so you're disqualified just for the moment. Those who weren't there on Sunday night at Liz's, can you remember the name of this initiative? Anybody? Can you remember going over it on Sunday morning, Chris? Yes, a number of times, etc. Thank you. Yes, good. Yes, I remember that. That's right. I got Jennifer a number of times. So it looks like it will be Jan. Yes, speak nice and loud. Wonderful. After his heart. Now, after his heart is a desire to do this from someone who feels called to lead this. This person came to see me and said, I have no idea how this is going to happen. I know the format. It used to happen, and it happened well. It was shut down at the other church. The person leading it left, and it sort of finished. I really feel God wants this for a blessing for the wider city. So the person expressed a degree of calling. I then spoke about what it might involve in hopefully encouraging terms, but there was a few steps to go through. And I'm not sure at that particular stage where the person's faith was. After a few more weeks, we had a conversation, and the person said, well, I believe this is what God has in store for us to do. I'm not sure how those next steps may be. And the reason I mention after his heart is a teaching example of this very thing. There's a sense for this person that God has called them to lead this, to head this up, to at least initiate this. The faith to do it is growing and is getting there. But if God has called, and God has faithed, that's another word we don't use with faith, God has faithed, then it says clearly, who also will do it. And this is the release and the relief I want to leave with us today. He'll also do it. He's not going to call us and faith us and then leave us alone, so we have to try and work it out. It said, he also will do it. We might say, hang on, it doesn't work that way. God calls and faith, but he gets us to do it. Yes, he does in a sense, but we are his hands and feet. We are his outworkings of the things that he wants us to do. He also will do it. We're not deserted in this. We're not left alone in this. And one of the wonderful things about the family of God, where each of us encourage one another, we can see a calling. We've spent time in fellowship. We've prayed. We've been in small groups with one another, and we've seen a calling on someone's life. We've continued to encourage them. They have spent time in prayer. They're beginning to see the faith to step out and do this particular thing. And it says, lastly, he also will do it. God calls, God faiths, and God does. Now, just a question, maybe a rhetorical one, maybe one you want to answer. Have you ever been involved in a ministry at any stage in your life where you know that it is God doing it clearly through you? You're going through the motions. It's not like a robot, don't get me wrong. But you are going through the motions, you are doing, but you know that God is working through you. Anybody experienced that even once or twice where they have that sense? Thank you. Good. Great to see a few hands. You know that sort of sense where it's not like you're an autopilot, but there's a sense that there has been a progression of the way things have gone. I see quite a few nods. It doesn't happen all the time. We would pray that it would more and more so. But wouldn't we like to be in that place this year? It may just sound like a pipe dream. It may sound like there is no way we're going to see the sorts of things happen this year that we saw happen in pick your year, pick your time. And yet we see that this is not a verse with an expiry date. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. Not has done it or has been done it, but will do it. So if we consider carefully this verse and the future tense component or the future tense part of it, he is faithful after he calls, and only him that calls and will do it. The very last thing I want to say is, what's the it? It's really the calling. It's the thing at the start that he calls us to do. He will also do it. The whole of it. The completion of it. Not the start of it. A builder, if they're building a house, may refer to it as a house. But if you're talking about it often enough and regularly enough, you refer to it as it. When's it going to be done? And if you're a frustrated homeowner, it's been said that no houses would ever get finished except for Christmas. When's it going to be finished? Before Christmas, before Christmas, before Christmas. If you started a house in January, it might be before Christmas. If you started it in September, it might be before Christmas. But when you refer to something often enough, it becomes known as it. This is no disrespect to the object of the calling or the faith, but it gets known as it. If you have problems with a car that you can't fix, it might have another name other than it, but it becomes it. I can't get it fixed. Who can help me fix this thing? But it's referred to often enough that both the person talking about it and the person listening know what is meant. I think it would be an amazing thing if in our small groups and ministry groups this year, we began to understand the calling and the faithing of each individual person well enough that we're able to talk about that in it terms. Not having to explain a whole sentence or up to speed with it every time. We understand someone is called to hospitality. You've got to use it more. And I want to finish with a last example. We went away over Christmas to Sandra's father, and we were talking last night actually about the food. Now, Sandra's dad is a great barbecue, and we have barbecues, not ad nauseum, that's the wrong word, but we have barbecues regularly, shall we say, while we're there for those 8 or 9 days. And we were probably pretty used to, and not resigned to, but pretty used to the fact that we would have on Christmas Day night a barbecue, and I can pretty well tell you the menu. And I could pretty well tell you the menu for the next night and the next night and the next night as we went through the local countdown sort of variety and then the sort of rotation finished after 3 or 4 days. Wonderful food, don't get me wrong, but I could pretty well tell you what it was going to be. And probably there was a sense of maybe it's time to change it up a bit, that sort of thing. Now, we turned up and one of Alex's wife's family were there and was someone with the gift of hospitality. It was amazing. What was that salad? That broccoli salad. Now, broccoli, you know, it's not sort of a favorite food for many, but it's turned to salad with the right garnish of this and that, and it was really good. I had 2 or 3 helpings. And this person had the gift of hospitality but didn't know it. Now, I wanted to encourage this person in this because it was particularly clear that she had this. A Christian involved in service and ministry but didn't understand what that might be. Now, we'd been talking about it for 2 or 3 days on off. I said, you have to use it. And we'd crossed over from talking about the gift of hospitality or the calling, and we started to refer to it in it terms. So my prayer as I close today is, what is it for you? How could it be spoken about on a regular basis one with another? How could it be the thing that each of you know that you are called to? Each of us know that we're called to and take steps as God gives us faith to see the outworking of it this year. It may be a new ministry. It may be partnering with others in an existing ministry. It may be something quite outside of here. It may be mission overseas that you are called to it. But could I encourage us as we pray and consider and understand that He, God, who calls us, is faithful and also will do it. Let's pray. Lord, so here's where the rubber hits the road. Here's where we say, well, Lord, you have summarized this particular book, as many others that you would do, and saying to us that you are faithful. You've called us and will do it. Or rather, the other way around, you have called us, you will faith us, and you will do it with us. So, Father, really that all that remains for us is to relax and enjoy your will for us. With expectation, with future purpose and hope, absolutely. But to relax in what you have for us. Sometimes it will be difficult. Sometimes it will be challenging. But this will be the most worthwhile thing that we do for 2018. Discovering what it is that you've called us to do. Allowing you to grow our level of faith.